We're going to stay in Austin now for some music. More than a decade ago, a band called Cotton Mather recorded an album. It was never released on a major label, and it's been out of print for most of the decade. The band has broken up. But the album got raves from some big names. Noel Gallagher of the band Oasis declared it amazing. London's Guardian newspaper called it the best album the Beatles never recorded. The album is called Kon-Tiki, and now thanks to some fans, it's being reissued, and the band is reuniting for the South by Southwest Music Conference. From Austin, here's David Brown of member station KUT.
Cotton Mather frontman Robert Harrison still writes and produces for himself and others out of his home in Austin. Sitting in his living room studio, he pulls out a box of tapes with labels like Jeff and Blaine, the names he used to keep track of literally hundreds of dubs. He pops one into an obsolete player, and suddenly it's 1997 again. Where were you when you did that, and what was going on?
That was in a little house in Tarrytown, in this tiny room, not a proper recording environment at all, but we put quilts up with clothespins, so it was like a cave like you'd have, you know, when you're in junior high school, you know, some cool lamps and stuff like that. So we really felt like we were in this little netherworld, and as you can hear, we kind of were.
Originally, Harrison had been working on several of Kon-Tiki's songs at a studio in L.A. Then he parted ways with his producer and decided to craft the album on his own.
My mother had recently passed away. My heart was feeling kind of blown open. And music had taken on a different purpose for me. It was about, you know, healing. And I think up until then, I had been trying to sort of please other people, write music that was very clever, that might have convinced people I could have gone to graduate school had that been my ultimate design.
When the finished product did come out, producer Biff Kennedy says that the reception was lukewarm, to put it politely.
I don't think so, Biff. Call me again when you get real work. I think that was probably more of the overall reaction. There were clearly pockets around the country with, you know, some very progressive and aggressive programmers that did connect to the record immediately.
Listen to him twist her faith. He's been out there all day, sleeping on the laurels of a face from long ago.
The folks that were at WDET in Detroit responded immediately. The people programming WFPK out in Louisville, same thing. We love this. This is exactly the kind of record we're looking for.
If Americans didn't quite get it, it was a different story on the other side of the pond. Mojo magazine prepared a full spread. And suddenly, Cotton Mather was not only headed for Europe, by all appearances headed for the big time, too. Then Harrison suffered another blow.
My father had passed away very unexpectedly, just days before all that stuff happened. And I'm hearing all these people say, you know, Oasis has said you're the bomb or whatever. I didn't even have any place to put that kind of information. I had just buried, you know, I just lost my hero, you know, and so I didn't feel very celebratory. I didn't feel very much like a rock star.
When they got back to the States, Harrison says everything kind of stalled.
We really should have come out of there with another record deal. That, I think, kind of got botched. And so the Big Picture, which was our next record, ended up getting delayed, and that was our final record.
Within a few years, Cotton Mather would be no more, and Kon-Tiki would be out of print. But many critics and musicians count Kon-Tiki as a pioneer of the do-it-yourself ethos that has come to be an industry standard today, a powerful influence on musicians like Randy Reynolds, leader of the Austin band Leatherbag.
This is such a forward-thinking record in its style, in its recording concepts, and within its songwriting. I mean, no one in the middle of the 90s doing Beatles-esque things was not the coolest thing in the world to be doing.
Well, some people thought it was cool.
I loved the record, and I felt like I had something to shoot for. I had something that was being made in my hometown.
At the time Kon-Tiki came out, Britt Daniel was launching his band Spoon. Today, he's among many fans who pooled their resources on Kickstarter for an official re-release. Daniel says he still listens to Kon-Tiki.
I wasn't really sure how they'd done it, but they had done it. They had made something that was real and moving and still sounded hot and out of control and wild.
I hear that, and I find it very moving.
Cotton Mather frontman Robert Harrison doesn't dwell much on how long it's taken for Kon-Tiki to achieve cult status.
We knew it was really special. There was something very magical going on. It was like the cosmos was giving us a big hug and saying, well done, boys.
This week's Cotton Mather reunion at South by Southwest is supposed to be a one-time thing. But as Harrison discovered long ago, when it comes to all things Kon-Tiki, the future may have other plans. For NPR News, I'm David Brown in Austin.
Bread for endless summer made a wish to win, but you gave the world.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.